What up, folks? What it do? Welcome to another episode of the Best Advice Ever podcast. Yeah. With your boy, Mike Goodwin, the Bowtie Comedian. Each week I start the podcast in the same manner, and it's the On the Road segment. Shout out to Marietta, Georgia, because that's where I was on the road this past week. I was in Marietta, Georgia for the Big Dad Energy Tour. Very, very great turnout. We packed the place. I had folks from my hometown. I had folks from TSP, which is my business mastermind community. I had folks that I went to college with. I had folks that have watched me on the internet, saw me at another engagement back in the day. Just a great variety of folks that came out. My wife was able to join me, went down the night before, and I had young Kennedy Alexander to be a part of the show. Also, Marietta was very interesting because the folks that I work with as it relates to my social media, they are based in Marietta. We're based in a few places because people work from home, but one of the gentlemen lives in Marietta and was slated to come in and have video footage of the night, but became ill. And we were not able to get that footage, but hopefully we'll get some footage from an upcoming event, maybe the one of the ones that are taking place in July, right? But it was great. It was great. It was a good representation to me for folks wanting to see me in other places. So I think if we look at all the dates that I've had thus far, I'm looking at my whiteboard behind me. I can't see all of them, but we've had Cornelius, Cincinnati, Columbus, North Carolina. We had Raleigh. We've had Columbia, South Carolina, Tampa, Florida, Kansas City, Toledo. I'm sure I'm missing some. Chicago is in that group. Richmond, Virginia Beach are all locations that were part of the tour up to this point. But Atlanta or Marietta is not far. So, and there's a lot of people that I know. I've had family members that were in attendance, and it was just a great night. It was a great night. And we also were able to document some of the footage. And, matter of fact, I was just on a business call and they were just talking about the importance of having a videographer. And I typically will have a videographer that is in a location that's close. I do struggle sometimes when I'm going to other cities, but they mentioned this, I guess, resource called Thumbnail. And you can go on Thumbnail and hire somebody to come get the footage. So that's what I will be doing moving forward, because this past weekend at Marietta, there was a line around the building. And what I noticed was, you know, we got some of that footage. And when you post that footage online, people believe what they see. And the shows have been going well. And it's been good. But if you don't, like, if you're not there, you really don't get a good sample of what's happening. And I might have talked about this too. I'm really becoming more crystal clear around the idea that your talent is great, but it's more about your marketing. You got to market. And you got to market. Like, you have to market like a crazy person. You got to just put it out there. You just got to generate the buzz. You gotta, and I mean, I knew that. I'm not saying that I didn't know that, but I think it really rung home or brought it home a little stronger when we put up the reel of the Marietta show, and people are just like really excited. And I'm like, well, I've been excited about this every show. But when you see the footage, it really gives you like a real deal. Like, oh man, this guy's really getting it done. People are coming and buying tickets and it's being successful. I was just, again, like I said, I was on this meeting and Odell Bazell was the guy that was the main person that was talking. He gave a definition for marketing. So if you're an entrepreneur, or if you're somebody that's thinking about marketing, this is a great definition for marketing. He said that marketing is the consistent exercise of showing people who can hire you why they should hire you. That's a great definition, and it is also an actionable definition that lets you know, oh, I need to market. It's letting the people know that can hire you why they should hire you, because you're doing events, you're doing speaking engagements, you're doing workshops, you're doing seminars, and you're constantly on top of mind because you're marketing. You know, it's like when I was in college, my chapter, we called ourselves the best kept secret of the Southeastern Province. And sometimes when people say they're the best kept secret, I don't know if we're really proud of that. Like, and I think in our cases, we were like, hey man, we're a dope group of young men. We got some great brothers in our chapter. We, you know, we do some phenomenal things on our campus, but our name just isn't as known as some other names. Our chapter name isn't ringing out throughout the ages, right? So we were the best kept secret, like this little gem. And I don't think anyone wants to be the best kept secret. Matter of fact, one of my business mentors is often chastising folks and saying, hey, you should not be the best kept secret. That is not a title that you should go and aim for, right? And I feel them. I totally understand. And I'm trying not to be the best kept secret as it relates to bow tie comedy and stand up. And so Marietta was a great reminder. Man, people came out. We had VIP set up. But it also gave a vision of going forward. We want to make sure that these other cities look like this. And that's one of the difficult things. When you're touring, you can't rest and celebrate too long because you got another game coming up, right? You got another opportunity to do it all over again. So that's the on the road segment. I think I'll talk a little bit more about the show because it was a good show. It was a great show. It was a great show. I wasn't saying good show like trying to be fake humble. It was. Like I have high expectations of myself and my craft. And I think more than anything, I was very excited to be able to perform in front of folks that have known me for a while, but they haven't seen me do my thing, right? You want people to come out, and especially as a comedian. I remember the days when I was starting and I didn't want people to come out. I did not tell people because I still was trying to find my footing. I didn't feel very confident in the type of shows that I would deliver. And now that's not the case. Like I'm excited to walk out on stage and show folks that, hey man, this is what 15 years of cultivating a craft or skill. This is what it looks like. This is, in my opinion, a master at his work. Now, again, I'm not on some type of like, I'm the best of all. I'm the greatest of all time. I'm the GOAT or any of those things. I'm just a practitioner of excellence, and especially as it relates to the skill and art of stand-up comedy. And I put great amount of pride and preparation and time into delivering a world-class presentation and performance. And it warms my heart that people who have been supportive of me, people who followed me, people that just now are getting to meet me, are able to spend a night enjoying the comedy that I cook up. It's like I'm a five-star chef back. I don't know how they rank the chef's rating scheme, but I'm a real serious chef. I went to the finest schools. I've curated menus in France and New York and Chicago and San Francisco, just I've been on the grind to become, because that's what I've done. I've worked hard to become an excellent comedian. I've worked very hard to craft an enjoyable night. And I think I've done it. And I think I will continue to do it. And I'm continuing to raise the level of what I deliver on stage and to the audiences. And so again, if you were in Marietta, thank you. So grateful, so appreciative. If you are buying tickets to one of my future opportunities, I'll be in Nashville, Tennessee, May the 4th. May 5th, I'm in Huntsville, Alabama. And then in July 18th, I'm in Greenville, North Carolina, South Carolina. On the 20th, I'm in Hickory, North Carolina. 21st, oh no, the 18th, 19th is Hickory. The 20th is Greensboro, and the 21st is Charlotte. So we'd love to see your face in the place. That's what I would can't wait to meet and greet y'all on the road. Now, this is the segment that the podcast been named after. And this is something I feel very strongly about. And I typically go back and take a look at previous episodes to see if I've done this advice before, and if I have, my apologies, but I think it's worth, it bears repeating again. So today's the best advice ever is to read daily. Go let that sit there for a second. Read daily. And again, I really hope y'all are of the understanding that I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to anyone that is of the listening community. Read daily. And I think why reading is so important, it keeps your mind sharp. It keeps your mind sharp. And unfortunately for me, there has been so much unlearning that I've had to do as it relates to learning and academics. I just recently was watching, I don't know the name of the actual show, but J.R. Smith, former NBA player, NBA champ, enrolled in as a student at North Carolina A&T and is on the golf team. Right. So they're chronicling his first year experience. And he has, I think, a common experience that many African-American men, especially of my age and generation, where school, academics, they were frowned upon. Like being a dumb jock for JR was fine. Like he just wanted to be wealthy. He wanted to make a lot of money, but did not have a lot of emphasis on the development of thought, the development of his mind. Similarly, I'm a first generation college student. My parents are very intelligent people. My mother is a voracious reader. But I had to unlearn things as it relates to intellect and growing and developing a desire for intellectual curiosity, a desire for knowledge. You know, there was a comment that often, you know, that people, I go with this, you know, again, I cut this, you know, stuff out. But my mother, who was a very avid reader, one of the criticisms, because she had a lot of brothers and sisters, I think it was about 14, 15 of those folks. They would always say things like, Beck, you always have your head in a book. Like that's some type of negative thing. Like that's a pejorative comment. You always got your head in a book, which should be celebrated, which should be applauded. And I always pause out because I'm gonna have a candid conversation as it relates to race. And I understand most folks, oftentimes people will cringe and say, see, why has everything got to be about race? But let me make this point. And then you ponder, you sit with this idea. For African Americans, the truth of the matter was their lingering effects from slavery, even if it's just the knowledge of that institution existed. Now that I'm not even talking direct lines of I can trace my lineage and my great, 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 great grandfather was a slave. I'm not talking about that. Just the idea that African Americans were enslaved in the United States already produces a level of, I guess, connectivity to that time. Like, similarly, I'm a member of my fraternity. So when I look at the pictures of guys that were founders of this organization, men that I've never met, men that were not alive when I was alive during the time, I can still look at the pictures. And because we are in the same organization, espouse the same beliefs, I feel a connectiveness to African-American students that were members of my fraternity, even though they were 1911 and it was 1915. There's a connection there. I think similarly for me, now again, I can't speak for all people of color, all Black folks, all African-American, but I've always had a connective relationship to being an African-American, which I think can be similarly said for people that are Jewish, that can be similarly said to people that are Italian, that if you have an ethnic group that is of significant identity, that you may connect. Oftentimes, when I'm having conversations around race, folks that are white folks, Caucasian folks would say they don't see themselves as a part of a community or culture. You know, you often hear African Americans say, for the culture. We're doing it for the culture. There's an intrinsic relationship to those who have gone before me. We stand on the shoulders of giants, our ancestors, our forefathers, much different from the signers of the Constitution. When I'm thinking about my ancestors and my forefathers, I don't readily associate Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. I don't see those guys as the guys who are paving the way for me. I see the Booker T. Washingtons and the W.E.B. Du Bois and the Sojourner Truths and Harriet Tubman. There's a connectivity with that. And similarly, because it was illegal for African Americans to read. And if you just looked at you could get killed in many cases. It was not, it was just not commonplace for African Americans to be celebrated for their intellect. Now, again, not that that's the overwhelming relationship or even the sentiment that's now. I'm just saying that there, I believe there's a connection to the prohibition or the restriction of knowledge and reading and schooling. And even when you get out of slavery and you go to the Jim Crow era, well, okay, school's not that important because we got to pick these crops and you have to work in the farm. So we can't afford to give you the ability to go to school when we can use you as labor here to help here at on the farm for the family, right? So I feel like some of that still lingers. And I fight it's separate. So you add that component of this cloud of slavery. I don't know if it's directly influencing, but it's there. It hovers. And then more specifically to my experience, the anti-celebration of intellectual endeavors. And, you know, when I was growing up, folks, if you spoke a particular way, they say you were trying to be white, trying to be something that you are not, and would shame you for, oh, you think you better than us. You think you're smarty pants, so smarty art type scenarios and conversations, correct? And now I look at like my children and I can see black nerds and black kids that are in anime and black kids that are in tech and black kids that are in, you know, I even think about the gentleman that does the editing of our podcast. There's even like his experience where it's like, hey man, I don't play sports. And he's but maybe not even a generation younger than me, but we're not of the same age group. And I'm sure he caught some flack, but I'm sure he had some freedoms to just like what he liked. Where for me, and I might have mentioned this before, but ideas are like black boy joy and intellectual interest. I have examples of personal stories of me saying, hey man, I'm gonna get serious about my academics, and the community in which I was with, my peers would not be encouraging. And what do you think you're trying to do? You think you, ain't nobody care about that. What you looking at? What you doing that for? Why are you trying to be, right? And now I live in an existence where my thoughts produce my living. I stand on stage with the ideas and sentences that I thought of. No one writes my material for me. I produce my material. Now I talk to people and someone may say, hey man, you should go this direction, or hey. And so there may be a phrase that I use that someone may have offered. But by and large, I would say 99.1%. But the overwhelming majority of anything that I produce on stage is for me. Now, again, we talk about some of these videos I shoot. Sometimes these are other people's ideas that they've given me or we've collaborated with. But what I do primarily as a career, that comes all out of my brain. And I'm constantly in a little bit of a conflict with myself, because when I do sit down to read, when I sit down to ingest information, I feel like I'm not doing something. And I can even think when I was like in the military, I spent, when I was in the army, we would be in a motor pool and we would, for the most part, have all our work done, and I would pull a newspaper up, right, and try to read the newspaper, and people like aghast. They're like, "What are you? Hey, man, go sweep the line, go and, you know, clean the tools. Like, there's 1,000 things to do more than for you to sit around and read." So there's this constant struggle internally with me and reading. And I want to give you the best advice ever, to just be diligent to read daily. And many people that are of the Christian faith are going to read their Bible, and that's great. That's a good discipline. But I'm also talking about reading things that you are interested in, and reading things that are good information for you. Know, like, I get the USA Today, and sometimes I don't even read the cover. Like, sometimes I get magazines and do not even open the magazines. It's like I'm just getting them to be getting them and not reading the information. So what I would say is, today, and again, this is to me, make time. And what really, really sends this, punctuates this point for me, is the amount of time that I can spend on social media doing nothing. Like, I've literally spent 30 minutes on social media, looking at statuses, commenting on stuff, whatever. And I closed the app, and I'm like, man, I could have spent that time reading a chapter out of a book, man. Or my second episode of Suits in a day. Like, hey, man, you could have took that 40 minutes and read, and you would be much better served. So I would encourage you not to not veg on, binge watch some things and cut your brain off and relax and coast. That's you need those moments of inactivity. But what I would encourage you to do, make reading a priority. Make reading something that it's a daily practice. Read daily. Don't succumb to the thoughts of, it's so hard for me to read. There's so many things, so many books that are of interest that I'm sure you have, magazines. So make a concerted effort. Dedicate yourself to cultivating the sharpness of your mind by reading daily. And that's the best advice ever. Also, one of the things I wanted to talk about, I've started, and this may be a new segment in the future. I don't have enough time to do it today, but I want to go back and rewatch movies that I've seen, but I haven't seen in a while. One of the movies that I most recently did that with is Waiting to Exhale. So I'm going to give a breakdown of what I thought about the movie this go around, because I saw it years ago. I saw it when it first came out. Actually saw it in the theaters. That's right. I saw it random fun fact. I saw it in Rock Hill. I was dating a young lady that attended Winthrop University, and we went to the local movie theater and saw Waiting to Exhale. So I will circle the block and talk about the movie, not well, I've already circled about and seen the movie again, so I'll give you my insights on the movie. And last but not least, before I roll out of here, the What You Not Gonna Do segment. Is it just me, or does coughing seem criminal in public places nowadays? Especially on flights, right? If I'm on a flight and somebody coughs about 2 to 3 times, I'm like, hey, I'm about to hit my stewardess. I'm about to hit the little bell for the airline individuals, the folks that are here to help serve and protect on these friendly flights out in the friendly air. Yeah, when folks are coughing, especially in a closed space like that, it's like, hey, get you some water. I feel like I feel like you need to get arrested. Not like go to jail, but you need to move away from us. You need to stay home. If you coughing to the degree you can't control your coughing, feels a little criminal to me. Maybe that's me. But when I hear somebody that is continuously coughing on the plane, I'm like, what you not going to do is sit back there and keep coughing. That's what you not going to do. Also, shout out to everyone that's following and commenting on social media. I was talking to someone recently. I love engagement, but I do get myself into trouble because I kind of, if somebody shows up in my comments talking recklessly, I'm going to address it. I'm going to talk to you. And that's like, I guess, one of the segments we may produce in the future is like the difference between being famous and being known. And what I'm hearing from other folks, and I see it with athletes a lot. Folks get online and say something crazy about the athlete. The athlete respond, and now people are like, hey, man, you got way too much money to be on social media responding to these idiots. Like, no, man, I got time. I got time today, bro. I got time. Well, I say that because I'm typically with the smoke on all the platforms. But YouTube makes me cringe. Like if I see a comment on Instagram and Facebook, I'm prepared. Even if somebody says something reckless. YouTube, they just, it's a different follower on YouTube. Those folks, man. YouTube makes me gird up my loins, right? It makes me put my seatbelt on because I'm like, yo, I don't know what these folks are about to say. Like social media, like Instagram, Facebook, people might just like, hey, great joke. I love your joke. And even if it wasn't their cup of tea, they may say something like, this sucked. He wasn't funny. He's like, okay. But on YouTube, they are saying stuff like, just because you have time to post things, I don't think that you should be posting. Like, what? Wait a minute. I thought this was about to be a comedy set, and this man is doing an inspirational seminar. It's just like, yo, it's like just a different level of edge. On YouTube, man. I don't like how these people talk to me on YouTube. Most times people are pretty cordial, congenial, but you really got to have your feelings off your sleeves when you roll up onto YouTube. And if that's you, if you're one of these people, come on, man. Just email me. I can read it. Don't put this all on my board, on my page for everybody to read. You talking reckless to me. But that's the end of today's podcast, man. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. I would love for y'all to like, subscribe, share. I received, someone sent me this woman. I got to go and find her name, but she says she's a 70-year-old white woman and she enjoys my podcast. And even sometimes when I'm talking crazy, now I might be not all the way quoting her exactly, but I love to hear back from folks. Shoot me a message, shoot me a DM, all those things. Again, thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of the Best Advice Ever podcast. We're going to do this every week. Same back channel, same back time. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that. Y'all have a great one. Peace.